All right, tonight's question, what was God's plan for Israel? Glad you asked. What? Yes, that kind of is the plan. So last week we talked a little bit about Abraham. All right, now we don't usually go over these rules, but look at, especially at rule number 3 over there. Don't talk during the lesson. I don't know, we might need to start. So let's all try to listen and focus. All right, so tonight, or last week we talked about what was God doing with Abraham. He's sort of starting a new nation. Remember, starting a new people. And then tonight, what's God's plan? What was God's plan for Israel? What was God doing with all of that? Now that they had a nation, what were they supposed to be doing? And did they do it? And that's kind of what we're going to talk about tonight. Now, the scripture passage that I've picked for tonight is Isaiah 55, and it's kind of poetic kind of language used. So it talks a lot about, actually it talks a lot about eating at the beginning. So I have a pretty good story about this. Yeah, I know, this is going to make it even worse. So a few years ago, I went to Columbus to this board game convention, like in this big convention place. And I went in there, and normally the food is really expensive there, and not even really very good. And but that's like all there is. But then you can go and walk a long way and maybe find something else. But anyway, this year, one of the game companies decided they were just going to feed everybody for free. And so, and they didn't exactly tell everybody this was going to happen, but people that kind of figured it out and, word spread and, hey, if you go to this place, they will give you free food. And so finally, we went over there and, sure enough, you get in line and you get your different thing. They had several different things that you could get and it was free. Oh, it was great. It was wonderful. Now, usually I have to eat just like Pop-Tarts and stuff and, it's like, this was much better than that. Or sometimes I have to shell out a bunch of money to do it. No, I didn't have to do that either. It was wonderful. Yeah, so it was great. Free food. Man, that's awesome. All right, so you'll understand why I told that story in a minute. Because we're going to read, before we go to the first point, we're going to read this little couple of verses here. Are we good? Here we go. So sort of like Isaiah is telling the people, this is the word of the Lord. So this is what God's telling them. He says this. He says, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. How do you eat with no money? Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me, hear, that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant. This is basically what God is telling the nation of Israel. And really, as we'll learn, he's telling everybody this. That's what God's doing. He's saying, come and eat. I have a banquet prepared for you. All you have to do is come and eat it. Come to the feast. That's really what God's all about. He's preparing this feast for us, and he wants us to come. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? That's the invitation that he gives to the people of Israel. So there's a couple of different things here in this, and we'll see. What God is really doing to the nation of Israel. All right, number one, Ileana, number one. First of all, God wants fellowship. I don't know if you recognize that. This is a famous paint. It's a Michelangelo. It's on the Sistine Chapel, the ceiling. Yeah. What's that? Yes, this is a very famous painting. This is a made-up painting because it's the hand of God touching the hand of Adam as he's creating him. God does not have a body like men, right? So, yeah. All right, anyway, here we go. So, God wants fellowship. So we have to go even all the way back to the beginning. God created Adam and Eve. And why? So that he could have fellowship with them. What did he do? He wanted to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve and talk with them. That's what he wanted to do. But, of course, they messed that up with their sin. Then, as we talked about last week, he found Abraham, and he says, I'm going to make a nation from you. And he called Abraham was called the friend of God because they had fellowship together. He even heard the voice of God. And then we can go up to later on to Moses. Moses is after they went to Egypt, and Moses takes them out of Egypt, out of slavery. And God gives Moses the law, the Ten Commandments, and some other laws, and they build the tabernacle. So what they're doing is God wants to live with his people. He wants to be with his people. Now, this was a problem because what's wrong with people? They're sin, right? That's right. They are unaccepted by God, unacceptable. And so they can't just hang around a holy God and expect nothing to happen. It would be bad for them. And so the only way that God could live with his people is he made them construct a special tent and special rules for who could go in there and when, and his glory and presence could go to that place. And he could, in some ways, live with this nation of Israel. And he could be their God, and they would be his people. And that was a way for him to have fellowship. And then later on, with David and his son Solomon, they built the temple, which is like a permanent version of that tabernacle, where, again, they would meet with God, the priests would. And God would be in their nation. He would live there. And that now that he had given them that land that he had promised them. So that's what God wanted to do. He wanted to have fellowship with his people, and he had to have some rules to do that. But if they followed the rules, then they would be able to live with God, and he could have fellowship with them. All right, the next slide. Not only does God want fellowship, God wants to give life. He wants us to experience true life. He wants us to thrive and flourish. See that plant there? It's just starting to sprout, but this guy is being very careful about it. And if he's very careful, this thing will grow up into maybe some kind of plant or a tree or something. Hold on, Isaac. No questions right now. All right, here are the next few verses from Isaiah 55. Listen to this about how to live. He says this, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. That means change your mind. Go a different way. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. Change your wicked thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him. For he will abundantly pardon. What does it mean to pardon somebody? Like sometimes if somebody has the death penalty and they're waiting, they might be executed, the governor can pardon them. Or you can get pardoned for other crimes too, and they let you out of prison if you get pardoned. That means you're set free. God will do that for you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That's right, isn't it? God's thoughts are way better than ours, way higher. So we should listen to God. That's the way to truly thrive. Now listen to this part. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, maybe we'll have some snow in a couple of weeks. I don't know. What do you think? Might be a couple of months. For as the rain, we got the rain though, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So we have the rain comes down and makes things grow. God's saying, my word is like that. My word comes out of my mouth and people grow, people flourish, people thrive if they follow my word. Just like a thirsty tree sucking up that water out of the ground. It's thriving. Here's what he says. For you shall go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Talking to the nation of Israel. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing. The mountains and hills. Listen to this part. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. All right. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle. And it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. So that's what the Word of God does for us. If we listen to the Word of God, it will be like water to a tree that's maybe dying or too dry or something in the middle of a drought, and then all of a sudden the rain comes and I don't know if your yard is all brown or something, then it rains and then it looks green again. That's one of the best parts about spring. Later on, it's like everything gets green. It's wonderful. That's what the Word of God does for us if we will listen to it. All right, number three, we're going to the next one. Hold your questions. The other thing God wants to do, he wants to draw all people to himself. He wants to bring all the people together, all kinds of people. Now, this one was really hard for Israel because Israel, they had spent so much time with God, they began to think that they were really the only people that mattered. They were God's favorite people, and they thought everybody else, they could just, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter what happened to them, we're the important ones. And so they had this big problem about other people, other kind of people. Do we have any of those problems today in our culture? About other kinds of people? Thinking that they're not as good as we are? I think there is a little bit of that. But here's what God says about that. And this is the next little part here, and then we'll be finished. He says this, thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come, and my deliverance be revealed. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of the man who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and keeps his hand from doing any evil. So that's good. So he's like, follow my rules. I'll be with you. And then he says this. He says this about the foreigners. Now Israel, the people of Israel really need to hear this part. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants. Everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. The Lord God who gathers the outcasts of Israel declares, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered. So remember, God went out, he found Abraham and he gathered them together and he made a nation of them. And now he's busy gathering other people. And other people came to Israel. And God sent prophets to other nations around about Israel, telling them that they need to come to God. And they need to come to God because God is the source of all life. And that they need to follow God. And they need to worship God because that's what God wants for them. God wants the best for them. And so one day God says that he will write the law, his law, on people's hearts. For the Israelites, he gave it on stone tablets. But he said one day, he's going to write it on their very hearts. So that they won't have to think about, oh, is it right to do this or is it wrong to do that? They would know because he has written it on their hearts. I think that's kind of talking about like the Holy Spirit telling us what's right and what's wrong and helping us to do what's right. And one day it will be even better than that. One day his kingdom will be filled with a magnitude of people, multitude of people, every kind of person. And the end of the Bible, we read that there's people from every nation there, speaking every kind of language, and they're all worshiping God. That's what God wants. So it's like this picture. It's all kinds of different people. That's what God is after. So the invitation is this. Are you going to, the invitation to Israel is the same as the invitation to us. Are we going to come and eat the food of God and drink the living water? You think, is it really talking about food and water? It's not, is it? It's really talking about something spiritual, but that's how we can understand it. It's sort of like if you, what if you found somebody and all they wanted to eat was just like garbage out of some trash can or something? That would be horrible. You'd say, no, don't do that. Come over here. Look, come to the lunch table. There's plenty of good stuff over here. Don't eat out of there. You say, that's what it is. That's what God's saying to us. Or here, how about this one? Some people would say, I just want to eat candy all the time. But you know that's not right, right? You know, maybe your parents say, no, don't eat candy all the time. Come and eat this good food that we prepared for you. This is what God's saying to us. What do? We say, oh, I'm just going to live life my own way. Well, I'm going to be mean to people and selfish. And it's like, no, that's like eating garbage. Come and live the way I want you to live. Come eat the good food. That's what God's offering us. So we can do that. We are offered the living water, the water of life. Jeffrey, the water of life. That's right. That's what God gives to us. And really, He gives that to us through Christ. But that's coming later. All right, let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Father, we thank You for the lesson tonight, and help us to crave Your kind of food and the living water that You provide for us, and help us to not be eating all that junk and garbage that we think is good. But get that stuff out of our lives and eat the stuff that You would have for us to eat, and that we can experience real life. In Jesus' name, amen.